Let's pray. Heavenly Father, enlighten our hearts and minds now through your Spirit as we hear from your word. Amen. Well, most days I listen to a news podcast I should probably be a little bit embarrassed about. It has some genuine news in it, rising interest rates, wars, network outages of major telecommunications providers. So that's fine, but it does do a bit of tabloid journalism as well. Harry and Meghan's feud with the other royals, the weird habits of Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly. Yes, that's a real name. And stories on extraterrestrials. Now, I must admit that I can kind of stomach the celebrity news, but when it comes to UFOs, I'm pretty unreceptive, okay? You see, I doubt that aliens exist. I think that belief in them results from a naturalistic worldview, and even if they did, I don't think we'd ever meet them because the universe is just too big. On top of that, UFOs are just associated in my mind with things like Bigfoot and psychics and conspiracy theories. So for all those reasons, this kind of reporting just seems implausible to me. It doesn't fit into my framework of reality. If you say anything to me about flying saucers, it's like my mind just puts it straight into junk mail, right? This is something towards which my heart is hard. Well, this morning, as we look at Mark 6:30 to 8:21, we're going to meet some people with hard hearts. Hearts that are plain unreceptive, but their hearts aren't hard towards aliens. That's fine. You can have a hard heart towards aliens. Nothing wrong with that. Makes sense. Their hearts are hard towards Jesus. You see, again and again, Jesus reveals who he is, but these people, they can't accept it. For them, these revelations are what stories of aliens are to me. They just go straight into the mind's junk mail because they don't fit with these people's understanding of reality. It's all just kind of implausible. But there's also another person in our passage, a person with a soft, receptive heart. A person who humbly considers what Jesus says and does, and the result is that, even though this person has much less to go off, they start to understand who Jesus is. This person is moving in the right direction. And so, this person is able to embrace the compassionate care of Jesus. And this gives them joy, while the hard-hearted people are left in fear. And that fact turns back on us, right? It asks, are we going to be hard-hearted and live in ungodly fear? Or are we going to be soft-hearted and experience the peace and joy of knowing Jesus? So we're going to think about these things this morning. To do that, we'll first go through the episodes in our passage about those with hard hearts, and then we'll think about what we can learn from them. And then we'll go through the episodes, the episode about the soft-hearted person, and we'll think about what we can learn from them. All right, well, let's take a look at the episodes about those with hard hearts. First episode's from chapter 6, verses 30 to 44. The disciples, they've just returned from a mission of healing and exercising demons and preaching, and they're knackered, right? They need some rest. But the thing is, life is very busy for Jesus and his disciples. People are coming and going all the time. So to counteract this, Jesus takes his disciples away in a boat to a quiet place. But the people, they're just relentless. They see the disciples and Jesus leaving and they run after them. And they get to them before they arrive at this quiet place. Now, when Jesus and the disciples get to their holiday destination, what do they see? They see a massive crowd. Can just feel the shoulders slumping. Can you imagine what this would be like for them? These guys are bone tired. They're looking forward to just taking a breath, recharging the batteries, maybe sleeping in a little bit. And then there's this massive crowd at their place of reprieve. I'd be angry, wouldn't you? Give me a break, guys. That's what I'd be thinking. But not Jesus. Look at verse 34. He has compassion on them. Jesus really is tired. We need to recognize that. He's truly God. That's true. He's also truly human. Yet, he sees past his own weariness and he sees people in need. He sees they're directionless and lost. Their leaders haven't done a good job at caring for them and leading them and teaching them. And so, Jesus' compassion drives him out. His heart is driven out towards these people and he teaches them. That's how he meets their need. Jesus is just wonderful, isn't he? He delights in being the good shepherd who feeds his sheep. That's Jesus. But this isn't the only way Jesus cares for the people. After an extended period of teaching, the disciples, they come to Jesus. They ask him to dismiss the crowd so they can get some food. Because the thing is, they're in a remote place. You could also translate that as a desolate place or a desert. And being in this remote desert, the people need time to get out and go somewhere they can find some food. But once again, Jesus delights in meeting his people's needs. And so in that desert, Jesus miraculously gives his people bread to eat. He multiplies 5 loaves and 2 fish and he feeds 5,000 men, never mind the women and children. Could have been a crowd of about 10,000 people. And the food supplies, well, they're not just enough. It's an abundance of food. 12 baskets are left over. 12 baskets. Now, where else in the Bible do we see God's people miraculously fed with bread in the desert? It's in the events of the Exodus, where God feeds his people manna as they trek through the desert. Jesus is doing what God did. This miracle is a display of compassion, that's for sure. But it's also a revelation. Jesus is showing those who are willing to see it who he is. He's Yahweh, the covenant God of Israel. And there are other ways in which this passage makes it clear. Think about the identification of Jesus as a shepherd here. Think about his ministry of teaching people. It's a ministry of guidance. Then look at that peculiar little detail in verse 39. Where the people sit down to be fed by Jesus. They sit down on green grass. Can you maybe think of a psalm that has these elements in it? Psalm 23. The Lord, Yahweh, is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He guides me along right paths for his name's sake. Jesus is Yahweh, the shepherd of his people. It's all there. But do the disciples get it? Are their hearts receptive to this revelation? Well, let's keep looking at the passage. Let's look at the next episode. It's from verses 45 to 56. Jesus now dismisses the crowd and he sends the disciples ahead of him in a boat. Then he goes to be alone and pray. That's a regular habit, it seems, of Jesus. And now that night, the disciples are rowing. They're on the lake again, in the boat again. That's a common thing. And they're trying to get to Bethsaida, where Jesus has sent them. But things are not going so well. The wind is against them, and they're straining at the oars. It's almost torture for them being in that boat. And Jesus, well, he sees their need, and as he loves to do, he comes to help them. But he comes in a peculiar way. He comes walking on the water. And once again, this is a revelation that he's the God of Israel. Because in the Old Testament, Job 9 verse 8 says this about God, right? He alone stretches out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea. And then to add to this, while Jesus is walking, there's this phrase about him being about to pass by. This is another Old Testament echo of Yahweh passing by Moses and Elijah when he reveals his glory to them. And this is in all. You see, when Jesus walks on the water to the disciples, well, they become terrified. They think he's a ghost. But then Jesus says to them in verse 50, "Take courage, it is I." Now that phrase, "it is I," can also be translated, "I am." And that points us to where God, Yahweh, reveals his name to Moses as I am the one who is. So there's a double meaning going on here that's kind of hard to see in English. On one level, Jesus is saying, don't worry, it's not me. Sorry, it's not a ghost, it's me. But on another level, Jesus is claiming God's name for himself. So again and again, with the feeding of the 5,000, now here as he walks on the water, Jesus has revealed himself as God, Yahweh, the God of the Old Testament. But now look at verse 52. Have the disciples got it? Have their hearts been receptive to this revelation? Nah, because it doesn't fit their framework of reality. A man, Jesus, can't be God. Not possible. Kind of makes sense how that couldn't fit into your framework of reality, but Jesus has given them plenty of evidence. So we're told that the disciples' hearts were hardened. And if we skip ahead a little bit to chapter 8, verses 1 to 21, we see this hardness of heart, unfortunately, continues for a while. Jesus does another feeding miracle in verses 1 to 9. He feeds 4,000 people with 7 loaves. And then in verse 14, Jesus and his disciples are off again in a boat, and they've got 1 loaf of bread. They forgot to bring more. Then verse 15, Jesus says to them, watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and Herod. It's a slightly cryptic saying, sure. Fair enough. But look at the disciples' response in verse 16. It's one of those just kind of face meet palm moments, you know? They say, oh, Jesus must be saying this because we have no bread. They've seen Jesus supply people with bread in amazing ways again and again, and now they're worried about not having enough bread. It's just crazy. And Jesus points out this foolishness in verses 17 to 21. He reminds them of the feeding of the 5,000 and the 4,000. And he basically just says to them, how can you be worried about bread? If you understood what I've been showing you, you wouldn't worry about that for even a moment. I am the one who supplies bread because I am Yahweh, the God who looks after his people. How can you not get it? How can your heart still be so hard? So, those are the episodes about the hard-hearted disciples. But now, what can we learn from them? Well, as we've seen, the disciples' big failing was that they just didn't get who Jesus is. Their hard hearts prevented them from embracing his identity. They prevented them from accepting that Jesus is Yahweh, the God of the Old Testament who cares for his people, who shepherds them with compassion, with a compassionate heart that overflows in caring provision. And we could see the result of their failure in that final episode. So the disciples were afraid that they might not have what they need. Maybe we won't have enough bread. So given all this, what's the takeaway for us? Well, the takeaway is to not be hard-hearted. And that's not so much a rebuke, it's more an encouragement. Because we need to be not hard-hearted in the sense that we fail to see who Jesus is. That's really important. You see, I reckon most of us get that Jesus is God. We get that he's divine, and that's good, that's great. But we forget that he's more than that. He's the covenant God of Israel. The God who shepherds and provides and cares for his people. The God who's moved by compassion for his people. The God who gives his people bread in the desert. The God who goes to his people when he sees them struggling. And the result is that we can forget that Jesus will look after us. We can forget he'll give us what we need. So with that in mind, let me give you some practical examples. Examples of what it looks like to embrace who Jesus is and therefore trust in his provision. Here's the first one. It looks like those of us who are parents trusting that Jesus will give us what we need to parent. Yeah? As parents, sometimes we look at ourselves and we feel inadequate. I know I do. Absolutely. Day in, day out. And the truth is, we kind of are, right? But since Jesus is who he is, he'll work in us to enable us to parent our kids. God calls us to do it, so being able to parent is a need. And that means Jesus will give us the grace we need. He'll mold us and shape us and empower us to parent our kids. That's one example. Here's another example. It might seem your finances are so stretched that your life is about to fall apart, or maybe even is falling apart. I mean, right now, I think a lot of people are feeling that way. But since Jesus is who he is, you can be sure he'll get you through it. You can be sure Jesus will give you the wisdom, courage, humility, and fortitude to keep going in the midst of the mess. And you can be sure that whatever finances you need to live out his plan for you, not your plan for you, well, they'll be provided. Here's another example. Maybe the physical or mental pain you experience feels crushing. Maybe it feels like you can't bear it, like it's all hopeless. But since Jesus is who he is, that can't be true. He will meet your needs. His Spirit will sustain you. His Spirit will strengthen you. Through his church, he'll put people around you to encourage you. And through his word, he'll remind you of the eternal hope that you have so that you can fix your eyes on it. Those are just a few examples. The point is, Jesus, Yahweh, cannot deny himself. He will always give his people what they need. Not what they want, but what they need. All right, let's take a look at the episode about the soft-hearted person. Now, as we get into this episode, there's a bit of background here that's important to keep in mind. Our episode begins just after Jesus had a bit of a run-in with the Pharisees. He had a run-in with them over what makes a person clean, what makes a person unclean, where unclean means you're in a state that's unacceptable for God. Well, for the Pharisees, you're unclean if you don't do the ritualistic washings and eat kosher food and so forth. But Jesus says, that's not what makes a person unclean. What makes someone unclean is the attitudes, thoughts, and desires of their hearts. All about the heart. Now, with that background in place, let's get into the episode. It's in verses 24 to 30. Jesus is around a place called Tyre, and a woman comes to him, a woman who has a little daughter who's possessed by a demon. And this woman is a Gentile. She's not Jewish. She's a Greek from Syrian Phoenicia. Now, what's really key to understand here is that in the Jewish mindset, especially the mindset of the Pharisees, Gentiles are about as unclean as you get, right? They were outside God's people. They didn't keep the rules about washing and eating kosher foods. To the Jews, Gentiles were dogs. But as we're going to see now, Jesus is going to completely upset the apple cart. He's going to show that it's actually the Gentile woman who's clean as opposed to the Pharisees. That's ironic, isn't it? Because the thing is, this woman, she has a soft heart. Take a look at verse 26. The woman comes to Jesus and she begs him to drive the demon from her daughter. This is desperate and humiliating already. But look at what Jesus says to her in verse 27. It's kind of crazy. First, let the children eat all they want, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Doesn't seem so kind, does it? Jesus just called this lady a dog. He's playing to the Jewish stereotype here. He's saying she's unclean. He's insulting her. But the thing is, Jesus isn't doing this because he's racist or he's actually unloving. This is a test. That's what's happening here. He wants to see how she'll respond in order to expose her heart. And her response is really outstanding. She says in verse 28, Lord, just think about that for a sec. Jesus just called her a dog, and instead of getting up in arms, saying, well, stuff you then, she uses the term Lord, a term of respect and submission. Let's look at the rest of what she says. Even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. It's a remarkable response. not a hint of anger, not even a hint of defensiveness. Instead, she's so humble, so deferential, so persistently dependent on Jesus. This is a response that comes from a soft heart, a heart that at least to some extent gets who Jesus is. She doesn't get that Jesus is Yahweh. Remember, she hasn't had the privilege of the revelation the disciples have received. She doesn't have the scriptures of Israel, the Old Testament Bible. But she's wholeheartedly receptive to the revelation she has received. She knows that Jesus is Lord. She knows he's powerful enough to help her. And she's going to keep coming to him and depending on him until he's helped her. She's remarkable. Remarkable lady. And in verses 29 to 30, the woman gets her request. She's passed the test and put both the unclean Pharisees and the hard-hearted disciples to shame. And so, Jesus grants her request and the demon leaves her daughter. She gets the joy of Jesus' caring provision. So that's the episode about the soft-hearted woman. Now, what do we learn from her? Well, I think this episode helps us to go further than not being hard-hearted. It's not just that we need to remember that Jesus is Yahweh, our caring God who will meet our needs. That's obviously critical. We've already seen that. But it's also that we need to be humbly persistent in coming to Jesus. Constantly, we need to be coming before him and throwing ourselves at his feet in utter dependence. Our desperate circumstances should drive us into the arms of Jesus. That's what having a soft heart looks like. It clings to Jesus, not willing to let him go until we've received the grace that we need. That's a lot of what prayer is, brothers and sisters. But now in saying that, let me encourage you with this. The Syrophoenician woman, well, she hadn't received the revelation that would ensure her that Jesus would help. She just threw herself at his feet, hoping, knowing that he could help, but not knowing if he would. But that's not the case for us. We know that Jesus will help. We know that because we know who he is. We know he's our caring God, our good shepherd. We know that. And we know that because of that, he can't deny himself. And so when we throw ourselves at his feet in prayer, we can be certain of his provision. We can be certain that his grace is coming our way. It's a guarantee. That's a precious encouragement, isn't it? So let's throw ourselves at the feet of Jesus with soft, humble hearts. Let's do that knowing that he'll listen, he'll care, and he'll provide. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that Jesus is our compassionate, caring, covenant God and good shepherd. Help us to be soft-hearted and to come to him. Amen.